Okay, welcome everybody. Find a seat. We are exactly 14 days from Christmas. 14 days from today. What kind of emotions does that bring up in you? Is there excitement? Is there panic? What are you feeling 14 days till Christmas? You excited? Come on, are you excited? I am excited. I love Christmas. I love getting a real tree. I love the music. I love Christmas cookies. My kids are excited. We're going on a road trip to Indiana right after Christmas. We're going to time with the cousins, all that stuff. There's so much to look forward to be excited about. What do you love about Christmas? How do you celebrate Christmas? What kind of traditions do you look forward to? I just want to take a second right now, and you guys talk to each other. Somebody, one or two people next to you, answer one of those questions. What do you love about Christmas? How do you celebrate Christmas, a tradition you look forward to? Just what's coming up that you're looking forward to about Christmas? One or two people near you, just share one thing. Take the next minute to do that.
Christmas, the holiday where everybody celebrates the gift of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the virgin birth, the manger, the wise men, Rudolph, Santa Claus, and Frosty the Snowman. Oh, what a glorious day. Wait. Christ was born in a lowly manger, not a shopping mall. Our lives are so filled with chaos that we've nearly missed the greatest gift of all time. And for what? Presents, yard decorations, tinsel, hot chocolate, Rudolph, and Santa Claus? Why do we prefer plastic over purpose? Stuff over sacrifice? Toys over truth? Are we overlooking Christ's birth only to celebrate the meaningless each year? We go through the motions of the season, year after year, routinely placing our wants over the needs of others? Are we on a collision course of forgetfulness, allowing the celebration to hide Christ once again? Last year, over $460 billion was spent on Christmas, while half the world had yet to hear of Christ's name. This year, let's make a difference. If we give just 1% of $460 billion, we could build more than 400,000 churches overseas, or supply clean water to everyone in India, Nepal, and Sri Lanka, or even give a Bible to every person around the world. This year, share Christ and change the world one gift at a time.
Celebrate the meaningless, go through the motions. That's not how we want to celebrate Christmas, right? But I want you to think about right now, does the way that you celebrate Christmas tend to hide or highlight Christmas? We're missing a slide here. That's okay. Does the way that you celebrate Christmas tend to hide or highlight Christ? Think about your traditions, the things that you do, the things you celebrate. Christmas is not just about family. I love family. But Christmas is not just about family. It's about Jesus. It's about a fulfilled promise from God. It's about the arrival of our hope, the Savior who's born, the Messiah who's come. Christmas is about Christ, but a lot of times the way we celebrate tends to kind of superficially tack Jesus on the holiday box like the gift tag that just gets ripped off and thrown away and forgotten. Sometimes that's how we celebrate. Jesus is not the gift tag. He's the gift. And maybe one of your part of your celebration is attending a Christmas Eve service, or you always read the Christmas story, which is great. That's great to do that. But if that's the only part of your celebration that includes Jesus, it's not great. In my own experience, as we celebrate year after year Christmas, I am coming to realize that if we're not really intentional about it, a lot of the way we celebrate Christmas actually crowds Jesus out of the celebration. It's kind of like having a big birthday party for somebody, saying happy birthday to them, and then shutting the birthday girl off in a room while everyone else has a party. Jesus is the birthday boy of Christmas. The party's about him. Christmas isn't about family first. It's about Jesus first. And I love family. Family's great. But Christmas is about Jesus. So we want to celebrate Christmas making more of Christ. I want to make more of Christ this Christmas. I want Christmas to be really meaningful and not just plastic toys and junk that's forgotten. I want Christmas to really be what Christmas is supposed to be about. So if that's what you want too, you're in the right place. Do you want to celebrate Christmas in a way that makes more of Christ and is still a lot of fun? You don't have to erase the fun. I don't believe that at all. And so hopefully you'll get some ideas today. Because if you want to celebrate Christmas in the way that makes more of Christ, like, how do we do that? How do we do that? I don't know what your family traditions are, but you may want to start some new ones. This morning, I want to give you some real practical ways to highlight Christ and how you celebrate. Real practical. You're going to have to decide whether you take any of this home. But first of all, if you want Christmas to be more meaningful for your family, don't wait till the 25th. Start celebrating now. Start celebrating today. Celebrate the whole month of December. Celebrate Christmas all month. Let December be a whole month of celebration. And I just want to encourage us as parents, men, if you're a dad or if you're a parent, to lead your family in this. This doesn't have to be hard. The ideas I'm going to share with you are not complicated. They're not necessarily expensive, but they don't happen by accident. You don't have a meaningful Christmas by accident. So I'm going to give you some ideas, and you pick what works for you, for your family, and hopefully there'll be enough options that you'll say, hey, this is one that I can take home. So whether you have a family that's on board with this or not, if you're hungry for a meaningful Christmas, you can walk out of here with some pretty good options. So first, let's go back to the original Christmas. Let's go all the way back. We sang about Bethlehem. We sang about shepherds. We sang about that night. Before we talk about the different practical stuff, I thought it'd be good to think about what the angels said that first Christmas. What was the original message of Christmas? And some of us are really familiar with this story. There are no spoilers going to be coming in this Christmas story. You know what happens. You know what's coming, right? So it's easy to gloss over it. It's easy to even just read the Christmas story and be like, yeah, I know all that. But the angels had a really important message that night. Really important. They carried a message from God that was going to change everything. Another word for angel is messenger. So angels are literally messengers from God. By the way, do you know how many times angels show up in the Christmas story? Think through what you know of the Christmas story. How many times do angels show up? When I first started writing this, I thought three. Angel showed up to Mary, right? Going to have a baby. Angel showed up to Joseph. You better marry her. I know. Marry her anyway. Angel showed up to the shepherds, right? Something big just happened. But then I remember there's actually two more. One showed up to Zechariah saying, hey, John the Baptist is going to be born. He's going to announce the way. That's part of the Christmas story. And then later on, after Jesus was a toddler, angel showed up to Joseph, said, hey, take your family to Egypt. Get out of here. Angels just keep on popping up over and over. Is there more? The wise men, they had a dream not to go back to Herod. So, look, angels are just like bam, bam, bam everywhere. They keep showing up. What does that tell you? If messengers from God keep coming to talk to people, do you think this is important? This is a big deal. Angels keep showing up with messages from God. Something pretty significant happening here. You know, angels don't just show up to chit-chat or because they have nothing better to do. Hey, what do you want to do? Let's go down and visit Mary today. That's not how it works. They are messengers with a message from God. So when an angel shows up, you don't want to ignore that. I think it might be safe to assume that every time an angel shows up, the message is pretty important. And this morning, I just want to focus on one of those messages, one of the times that the angel showed up, the time the angel showed up to the shepherds. And the reason I picked it is because the angel said, this isn't just for you, this is for all people. So these angels have a message for us. And I don't want to gloss over it. I want to just stop and camp on that message. What is that message? What message do they have that's actually for us? We know it's important. It came from an angel. It's recorded in the Bible. This is an important message. And I believe when we understand the message of the angels at this particular situation, we're going to understand what God intended for us to celebrate. What are we supposed to celebrate? And maybe that'll help us decide how to celebrate. And you might decide to change the way you celebrate Christmas after you listen to the message of the angels. You might bring a new tradition in. You might stop doing something. You might start doing something else. You're going to have to think about that on your own. I can't create your traditions, but you might want to think about what traditions would be helpful. So let's listen to the message. What is the message from these angels? It's in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Probably somewhat familiar, so just try to get your mind into it, see what's happening, and listen to what the angel says. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Put yourself in that situation. You're out in the fields that night, late night, not much going on. Those shepherds were not expecting an angelic visit that night. Not in the slightest. That had never happened before. They were terrified. They were terrified. You would have been too. So the first thing the angel does is calm their nerves, says, "Don't be afraid. We're not here to kill you. Don't be afraid." That's what they're thinking. Don't be afraid. We have good news. Great joy for all people. And they announce the Savior of God's people is born. The Messiah has come. This is a birth announcement. This is a birth announcement. We do that. We make birth announcements. There's a family in our church just had a baby. Craig and Sarah had a baby. They make a birth announcement. You might post it on Facebook. You might send pictures to your friends and family. God sent an angel. This is a birth announcement. You need to know. A very special baby has been born. So in this, the shepherds are out there. It's dark. Angel shows up, gives this announcement. Then how many angels are there? How many angels? Probably a Google. There's a lot of angels. That's a number, right? Isn't a Google a number? There were a lot of angels, maybe not that many, because I don't know how many are in a Google. There was a huge, it says a a great company of the heavenly host appeared. Host is a word for army. This is a huge heavenly army. These are not cute cherubs fat with little bows. And these are angelic warriors that show up. And why are they there? One angel gave the message, and then all these angels show up. This is like a heavenly highlighter. This is a fireworks display, emphasizing the importance of this birth. Their message, what those angels say, what this army of angels, it tells us what this birth means for us. Okay, the one angel says, this is what happened. There's a baby. There's a new baby. Then this huge flock of angels, flock's a bad word, take that back. This host of angels, they say, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. That's their message. That's telling us what this means. And just imagine thousands of angelic warriors appearing in the sky and shouting that message. It was overwhelming. This is not a whisper. This was loud. This is really loud. So this is the angel's interpretation. Okay, this baby is born. This is what it means. Glory to God and peace to men. Glory in heaven and peace on earth. The message is a message of peace. So many times in the Christmas story, you see that word coming up, whether you're looking in the prophecies or looking in the actual events as they laid out, peace. Jesus came to bring peace. What in the world is peace? If you had to define it or describe it, what words would you use to describe or define peace? Go ahead, just throw something out. What's peace? Calmness. Serenity. Good. What's peace? Unity. Yeah, I just was thinking about it just in real practical down-to-earth terms. When you have peace with somebody, you're totally relaxed with them, right? You're not anxious. There's no conflict. You're not needing to impress somebody. You know, when you don't know somebody very well, you have them over, or you're trying to get to know them, like you're trying to impress them, trying to communicate something to them. But when you have peace with somebody, you're not worried about anything. You just enjoy each other's company. That's refreshing, right? Think of a good friendship you have and what it's like to hang out with them when there's nothing in between you. I mean, you might have conflict sometimes with good friends, but when there's not, you're just hanging out together. That just feels good, right? You know what that's like? That's peace. Our family got to hang out with a lot of different good friends this week. We had a very full social calendar this week. And on Tuesday night, we got to hang out with Jake and Aaron. And I'm pointing them out because we have known Jake and Aaron longer than we've known pretty much everyone else in Cornerstone. Aaron became a member of Cornerstone in 2002. That's 14 years ago. Now, when did you become a member? 2001. So there's a couple people, and my parents would be included in that. I've known them a little bit longer. But we're hanging out with Jake and Aaron, and we've known them a long time. We've been through a lot together. And as far as I know, there's no conflict between us. We're hanging out and having dinner. When I was thinking about peace, I thought about that night. We're just relaxed. We're sitting around the table. The kids were all talking about what happened at school, and everybody was part of the conversation, and there wasn't any kind of business we had to work through or anything like that. It was just relaxed. We were laughing. We played games. It was peace. That's the kind of relationships we want, right? Peaceful, relaxing, long-lasting, that kind of friendships. Well, the message announced by this massive throng of angels is that we can have that with God. We can relax in his presence without fear, without conflict. We can enjoy being with God. Nothing between us, no condemnation, no judgment, just peace. How in the world can that be? How can that be? Because the Messiah has come. The reason Jesus came was to take away what was blocking us from God. That's why he came. Taking that sin, that rebellion that we had brought to the relationship, Jesus came to remove it so there's absolutely nothing between us. Forgiveness through Jesus brings real peace with God. That's why the birth announcement is an announcement of peace. This is what it means, according to this angelic host. On earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. This is awesome. This is awesome. This is huge. The favor of God has rested on us. Think about that. That changes everything. This was so big. Eventually, this was global massiveness. Eventually, we would reset the world calendar to this event. A couple hundred years later, they're like, man, that was so significant. That was zero. Everything starts over right there. It's amazing. Pretty important message. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. This is what Christmas is about. This message. It's about God's favor, reaching out to all people and offering peace to everyone who receives this baby. Do you think that's an important message? Do you think anybody else needs it? Man, we have the favor of God. We have peace with God, glory in the highest. Let's celebrate that. That's what we want to celebrate at Christmas. You know, Christmas isn't supposed to be stressful, but we have made it that way. How many of you honestly feel more stress at Christmas time? Come on. You feel more stress. You got to buy gifts for certain people, and you got to do all these extra things. And if Christmas is more stressful, and this is the actual message of Christmas, I wonder if maybe we're not celebrating the right way. Maybe that's a question I want you to rattle around in your mind. We all know that Christmas is way too commercialized, right? I mean, I don't have to spend a lot of time convincing you of that. Christmas has become very commercialized. All the wrong things are emphasized. You know, Rudolph, Santa, like, and just busyness. We have to buy this. We have to do that. But how many of us have figured out how to keep commercial Christmas from sucking us into its vortex? Have you figured that out? We have one. Don't listen to the commercials that sing, have yourself a stressful little Christmas. Can't wait till it's done, right? I've heard people say that this season. They just can't wait till the holiday's over. What if there's another way to celebrate? I think there is. Wouldn't it be great if we could just invite Jesus over to dinner and have a meal with him? You know, what would you serve him? What would you cook? Lamb? I don't know. Vegetarian? I mean, you know what? It doesn't matter what you serve him. What would the conversation be like? You know, just kind of have him over and see where the conversation goes. Let him lead it. What do you want to talk about, Jesus? Man. Well, unfortunately, we can't do that. You can't Facebook invite Jesus to hang out at your house physically, in person, like that. But is there a way to experience more of God's peace and feel more of God's favor at Christmas? There really should be, and I think there is. To be honest, we cannot completely escape commercial Christmas. We can't escape that untouched. We live here, but we don't have to be swept away by it. We don't have to leave Jesus as the forgotten gift tag. He is the gift. He's it. So how do we keep Christ at the center of Christmas when Santa seems to have the advantage? Boots have better traction than sandals, right? And he definitely has a weight advantage over Jesus, right? Santa's. So how in the world do we keep Christ at the center? It's a challenge for most of us. 3 years ago, as a church, we participated in what's called the Advent Conspiracy. And that was basically to help keep us focused on the stuff that really matters. Advent Conspiracy is a global movement of people in churches resisting the cultural Christmas narrative of consumption by choosing a revolutionary Christmas through four things: worshiping fully, spending less, giving more, and loving all. And I printed out an insert in your program. Hopefully all of you got one of those that just explains more about what the Advent Conspiracy is about. It has shaped and molded the way I think about Christmas. So you might want to look into that. You might want to go to their website, adventconspiracy.org, and check that out. There's a lot of good ideas on that site. So we did that 3 years ago. A few weeks ago, we talked about this strategy for growing healthy Christians. Anybody remember what that strategy was called? There are three words. Starts with immerse. Anybody remember the other two? Fuse and nice. Good. Immerse, fuse, radiate. We talked about that. That's how we can be and stay healthy as Christians in general. And what is it we want to immerse in? This, right? Practical Bible teaching, whether we're in a community setting or on our own. We want to immerse in this book because it's got wisdom for us that we need. And who are we looking to fuse with? Each other, right? We want to fuse together with each other, pursuing application of this thing to get the stuff we're immersing in together. And then what do we want to radiate? Do I hear whispers? God's love. We want to radiate God's love. As we immerse and fuse together, it's natural to radiate his love by serving others and sharing our story. Well, I had a thought as I was thinking about the Advent Conspiracy and this immerse, fuse, radiate. I really think we could make more of Christ at Christmas if we take the thoughts of Advent Conspiracy and kind of mash them together with immerse, fuse, radiate. Okay, and I'm going to explain what I mean. That might not make sense to you. It only makes sense in my head at this point. In 3 minutes, maybe it'll make sense in yours too. Start with immerse. We want to immerse ourselves in the real Christmas story. Immerse yourself in the real story of Christmas. There are a lot of ways you can do that. But like I said before, we don't start on the 25th. We start now. Dig into the Christmas story. And a lot of ways you can do it. I'm just going to recommend one right now, and that's the book that just came out by Max Licato, Because of Bethlehem. This is a way to dig into the Christmas story, maybe in a fresh way. He's a great writer. He knows how to write and draw you in, and just to spend time every day reading some out of this that just gets you immersed in the Christmas story. There was a short video you saw earlier about this already. I'm gonna sell you on this book, okay? I'm gonna read the back of it. I love Christmas. Let the sleigh bells ring, let the carolers sing. The more mistletoe, the merrier. The more trees, the better. I love Christmas. I love it because somewhere, someone will ask the Christmas questions. What's the big deal about the baby in the manger? Who was he? What does his birth have to do with me? And I love the answers I've found, like this one. God knows what it's like to be human. When we talk to him about deadlines or long lines or tough times, he understands. He's been there. He's been here. Because of Bethlehem, we have a friend in heaven. And this one, Christmas begins what Easter celebrates. The child in the cradle became the king on the cross. Because of Bethlehem, we have a savior in heaven. These are the heart-shaping promises of Christmas. Long after the holiday guests have left and the carolers have gone home and the lights have come down, these promises endure. Let's turn on the lamp, curl up in a comfortable spot, and look into the odd, wonderful story of Bethlehem. You may find in it what I have found, a lifetime of hope. My family's been reading this together, and there are three copies of this in the church library around the corner that the first three who want to take it home can. You can download it from Amazon for $10. You can actually go on Bible Gateway www.thebiblequiz.com, and there are 5 free devotionals out of this that they'll just email to you. So if you're interested, this is a way to immerse yourself in the story. One way or another, it doesn't matter to me if you use Max Licato's book. There are lots of ways to do this. But one way or another, find a way to immerse yourself in the real Christmas story. That's not going to change the busyness. That's not going to change your calendar necessarily. You're still going to have long lines. You're still going to have traffic. You'll still have parties probably. But when you have the real story in your heart, when you take time, a few minutes a day to just plant it in there, you're going to face those things differently with peace. So consider that. That's the first thing. That's immerse. Fuse. Fuse with others in the process. If you're going to do that, if you're going to do this or something else, why do it alone? Bring somebody else into it. Invite someone else. Grab a friend and make more of Christ together. Ask somebody else. Fuse is doing this together with other people. And fuse goes two directions. You can immerse together. You can radiate together. You can do both as a fuse kind of thing together. So if you really want to make more of Christ, do this with someone. For us, that's gathering our family every night in my bedroom. Climb up on the bed and we read a few pages out of here. And it's become something that we all look forward to. So do that with your family, invite a friend. But the reality is you're not the only one who would benefit from making more of Christ at Christmas. You're not the only one that would benefit from that. The message of peace is for all people. Which brings us to the third part, which is radiate. Radiate God's love to those who don't yet know the peace that came on Christmas. And as we talked about radiate, the reality is we will radiate something. And we can add to the chaos and anxiety just getting swept along with the stress of Christmas. We can honk right along with the other irritated shoppers. Or we can be a channel of God's peace. You got to radiate first, right? You got to immerse first. You have to have that as part of you. And then you'll be able to radiate the love of God. And how many different ways are there to do that? Probably about as many as there were angels in the sky that night. Lots of ways. So I'm not just going to tell you need to do this one thing. There are a lot of different things you can do. Advent Conspiracy talks about some things. They talk about spending less and giving more, about not wasting your money and going into debt, buying unnecessary gifts that'll be forgotten, but giving yourself. You think about what you're going to give. Give of yourself. Be creative. Give things that will increase the relationship, that'll enhance that friendship. So that's one angle. They talk about different ways you might want to think through your giving of gifts. For our family, I'll just give you a couple examples of what our family does. Ways that we radiate. We love to radiate at Christmas. We love to do things that'll just serve people around us, people that we care about. And a huge part of Christmas for us is radiating the love of God to some of our neighbors. Some people we don't get to talk to a whole lot, but every year at Christmas, we bake piles and piles of cookies, and we put together a plate and just give it to them. And there might be something like, you know, you got a little pamphlet about the Because of Bethlehem thing. We might tape that to the plate of cookies or something like that. There's something that points out that Christmas is not about Santa Claus. It's about something much deeper than that, much more significant. But that's what we're doing on Saturday this week. So we'll be baking and baking and baking, and Saturday we get to give it all out. We love to do that. We love to bake. We love to serve. We love to give to people, and then we love to go to Friendly's when we're done. So that's one of our traditions. I don't know what yours is going to be. Get creative. How has God wired you? How might he use you to radiate his love to somebody who's far from him this Christmas? You know, I inserted one of these in every program, so you have that. Maybe there's somebody who you can give this to. Maybe somebody on your Pi Squared list you've been praying for. I'm just praying for this person. And maybe there's a creative way you could give this to them with maybe something else. Maybe you're going to go out to eat sometime between now and New Year's. If you do, bring this along. Bring this along and budget your money to give a fat tip and one of these. If you're going to go out to dinner, bring this along sometime and leave this for your stressed out waiter or waitress. They're going to be stressed this season. And I point out fat tip, that's required. Do not leave this without a fat tip. And by fat tip, I mean 40 to 60% of the bill, $10 to $20 if it's a party of two. Okay, I was a waiter for a while. I know what a fat tip is and what it's not. And I hear people complain like that person, I know they're a Christian, they just gave me a dollar. Okay, so don't do that. If you want to give a dollar, that's fine. Don't leave this. Okay, so leave a fat tip. Your generosity may cause them to pay attention to your message. You can make a difference, somebody you don't even know. One of my family's favorite Christmas traditions is to give Jesus the first gift at Christmas. And I just heard of another idea that we haven't done, but maybe you want to do, is if you have a nativity scene, wrap up Jesus in a little box and put it under the tree. And on Christmas morning, that's the first thing you open, and you put it in the manger. It's just a simple way. That doesn't cost anything. Maybe 13 cents in wrapping paper. But it's a way to remember, this is about Jesus. But for us, every Christmas morning, the first thing we do is we give a gift to Jesus. And through the Christmas season, we do it with the commercial we played earlier about the Forgotten Christmas. These gift catalogs are ways to buy gifts that basically you're giving to Jesus. These gifts are, they're animals. They might be rabbits or sewing machines or Bibles. There's all kinds of stuff in here. And my kids will go through this like I used to go through the Sears catalog looking for my Christmas wish list. And they will circle things and they will plan things. They were asking me, they wanted me to get a water buffalo last night. They were talking about that. There's so many things they want me to... I might need a significant raise if we buy all the things that they want to buy for Jesus this Christmas. But we go through that, and then first thing we do is we get online and we make an order, and we buy this, and this is a gift for Jesus. Then we open our gifts. So the kids love it. We love to do that. That's just another way. How can you make more of Christ at Christmas? Let him be part of the whole shebang. I'm just throwing out ideas, kind of lots of ideas. I don't know which one's going to stick out to you. Next Sunday, Pastor Brito is going to be here. Some of you have been here for Pastor Brito and Lowell Smith, just sharing what God's been doing in India and Pakistan. They have a gift catalog kind of like this where you can help orphans or national missionaries and buy things like you would find in that same thing. Maybe you want to use that. But I tell you what, when we hear from Pastor Brito, it always puts things in perspective. He's been serving in India. He's grown up in India. He's been a pastor since he was 16 years old. And when you hear from him, it just kind of gives us perspective on what's going on. We have so much more than they have over there. God has blessed us, and we can be generous out of our abundance. It's just another way to keep Christ in the center of it. You might think of your own ideas. You might think of your own ways. But any radiate, any time that you are blessing someone else, serving someone else, it's going to cost you something. It's not always money, but it always costs to radiate. It's intentional. It's something you have to do on purpose. It never happens by accident. We have to be purposeful. So, you're going to have to be purposeful if you want to make more of Christ at Christmas. You have to do that on purpose. So if you're a parent, if you're a dad, if you're a mom, lead your families in this. And if you're still not there yet, you're a student, start some practices now. Because someday you might have a family and you might get to start new traditions for your family and your kids and raise the next generation and make more of Christ, that the commercialism isn't the thing that catches their attention. Thankfully, a bunch of you and we are already doing it. Saucony Cross last night took about 30 people to make this party happen. Like, there was a lot of energy and work and money that went into that. Everybody just brought different food, turkeys and multiple turkeys and all this food and pies and all that. The people there had a great time. They really did. So you guys are already doing it. 30 out of the 50 we have on a normal Sunday morning are just doing it. That's one thing. And that took us most of a day. to do that. But, man, it was worth it. Sure seemed like my kids were having a good time. I had a good time. Took a lot of work, though. That was a radiate activity. And we got to fuse together doing it. And there was some time immersing in the story. It's a pretty good thing. So, if you want to make more of Christ at Christmas, think about it through the lens of immerse, fuse, radiate. Immerse yourself in the story. Fuse with others in the process. Radiate God's love to those who don't yet know the peace that came on Christmas. And I will tell you that if you do that, if you pick something from each of those categories, something, and you do it, two things are going to happen. One, you are going to be making more of Christ at Christmas. It will work. And two, you're going to have a merrier Christmas than if you don't. This will help you have a merry Christmas. Some of us struggle with that. Some of us don't. Some of us have a difficult time around holidays. Like, we can be intentional. We can be on purpose here. And those things will happen. So, as always, we talk about next steps. You have a whole flap on the back of your program, which you have a program. But look at the back of it and take a minute right now, right at the top. My next step with God this week is to do what? And I would encourage you to try to come up with at least one thing, one action that you're going to do in each of those three categories. That will help you make more of Christmas, that it will be a better celebration, a more meaningful time. And do that over these next 2 weeks. We have 2 weeks of celebration. 2 weeks left to celebrate Christmas. So I encourage you to make more of Christ and think about specific ways that you're going to do that. So just take a minute right now. You and God, think about, all right, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Lord God, I just pray for each person here that you'd give us strength to resist the tide that pushes away from Christ, that really is making less of Christ, that we would make more of Christ this Christmas. God, we need your strength. We need ideas and creativity to do that. And give us courage to love people around us, to schedule time to reach out to people we care about, that we're already praying for, that we would make more of you. The angels came with a pretty important message. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Lord, I pray that we would experience that peace, real peace, and that through us, somebody else who doesn't yet know your peace would also experience it. In Jesus' name, amen.